Hello, this is Mike, and it's good to be with you again. Welcome to the Didcot, Abingdon and Wantage Talking Newspaper Dawn, recorded on a hot and sticky 29th of July, 2026. I don't think it's breaking any secrets to tell you that we editors work off a script. So it's just a matter of updating last time's script. And last time I did this, it was a hot and sticky evening. In fact, it seems to be hot and sticky all the time, but welcome. As usual, here are a number of news items from local sources, and we hope you enjoy them. So today you're going to hear readings from, well, I don't know what the collective noun for Sandra's is, but there's two of those. And we've got Paul and we've got me. Tony's our technician, and in the office we've got Paul and Karen. So gold star to Paul for doing two things tonight. So we start this week with news of struggling high street shops.
Hello, this is Sandra Kay. High costs leaving shops to struggle. A growing number of businesses and shops closing in Abingdon could leave the town with long-term empty retail units. While the riverside town has lots of popular cafes in and around the marketplace and plenty of thriving pubs and barbers, some businesses have closed, with others set to shut. It emerged earlier this month that American coffee chain Starbucks is expected to shut its branch in the marketplace in September, and the British Heart Foundation shop in Bury Street Precinct is due to close in December. Some shops have already shut. Lottie's Bakeaway, selling cupcakes and drinks in Sturt Street, closed earlier this month, alongside gifts and accessories shop The Finishing Touch. Pablo Lounge, a cafe and bar on the corner of Bury Street, next to the marketplace, closed a year ago and has not been replaced. And the T&G Jones chain, formerly WH Smith, is in financial difficulties, which could place the town's branch in the precinct under threat of closure. The former Peacock's clothes shop, also in the precinct, closed in 2021. Ian Collett, who runs the bookstore in the precinct, said when retail units in the town close, they could stay empty for a long time. It's not a particularly attractive financial climate for new businesses right now. High street retail is tough. My business rates have more than doubled in the past year. Hospitality venues have been given a reduction in business rates, but so far there's nothing for shops. We've also had to face a rise in national insurance and an increase in utility bills. The fact that we are seeing a growing number of empty units reflects how difficult it is out there, particularly for independent businesses. Mr. Collett added, "A town like Abingdon relies on having a good mix of independent shops, but perhaps we're not getting enough support. Other towns have longer free parking in their council car parks. We only have an hour, and if it was longer, it would encourage more people to come here to shop and stay for a cup of coffee. It's not only shops and cafes in the town which have closed. The NatWest Bank branch shut last year, and the building in the marketplace has remained empty ever since. Price's Stationers, a family-run business, traded in Sturt Street for 31 years, until it shut in 2021, and has remained unused. The former Abingdon Sports Shop in High Street, which became a grocery store for a short time, is expected to become a nursery business. There have been a number of business success stories, as well as closures. Jill's Carver's Added Ingredients Deli returned to Sturt Street last year following a break, and the KK Vietnamese Cafe and Noodle Bar has also proved popular. Staff at Missing Bean, an independent cafe in Sturt Street, recently celebrated its fifth birthday.
Hello, this is Paul. Reservoir plan debate reignites amid heatwave. Debates over a major reservoir planning application have resurfaced after ongoing rising temperatures. The Whitehorse Reservoir near Abingdon will provide water for 15 million people across the southeast. The project has been labelled a vital piece of national water infrastructure by Thames Water. But in a statement, Action Group Against Reservoir Development called the reservoir the wrong solution in the wrong place. But some residents suggested the group should see the reality of the situation, arguing the country desperately needs the reservoir and the new reservoirs haven't been built for decades. The action group said Thames Water should instead fix the leaks across their water system, saying the reservoir will wreck wildlife and farmland and will cost billions, coming out of customers' pockets. The massive reservoir, which will cover an area the size of Gatwick Airport, has always been a topic of debate. Only Kielder Water in Northumberland, at 200 billion litres, is bigger. Two groups, Countryside Charity CPRE Oxfordshire and Safer Waters, even sought a judicial review at the High Court. However, their judicial review was dismissed. Thames Water revealed that costs for the controversial proposed Abingdon Reservoir soared from £2.2 billion to between £5.5 billion and £7.5 billion, a tripling of the original figure. This will be borne by customers of Thames Water, Affinity Water and Southern Water. The plan is to tackle an anticipated shortfall of more than a billion litres of water per day in the next 50 years, according to Thames Water. This projection considers the effects of population growth and climate change. Thames Water predicts that a severe drought could cost London's economy alone as much as £500 million a day. Currently, hosepipe bans are already a common recurrence. The Abingdon Reservoir, also known as the Southeast Strategic Reservoir Option, SESRO, is expected to be the second largest reservoir in the UK with a capacity of 150 billion litres. The site is located 3 miles southwest of Abingdon. It is close to the River Thames and features the right geology and ground conditions for a reservoir. Thames Water has had to plan for more than just the reservoir itself. The project will include a pumping station, a conveyance tunnel to transfer flows to and from the River Thames near Culham, and infrastructure to link the reservoir to the River Thames for emergency drawdown. An access road into the site, a temporary rail siding for freight train deliveries, and a compensatory floodplain are also part of the plan. Local streams will be diverted and the Steventon to Hanney Road will be shifted to the south.
Hello, this is Sandra F. Sun, fun, charity and rock and roll at Big Hearted Music Festival on Farm. Music lovers, bands, organisers and volunteers have hailed the weekend's truck festival as the best one yet. A record crowd of 27,500 people descended on Hill Farm Steventon near Didcot for 4 days of live music and dancing from an impressive bill of big-name stars and up-and-coming acts. With the last revellers leaving on Monday, organisers are now continuing with the task of tidying up the site, which for the rest of the year is a peaceful mixed arable and dairy farm. While always a sell-out event, this year's festival attracted a record crowd, with families of young children making up much of the increased numbers. They joined a friendly crowd made up of everyone from enthusiastically partying teenagers to veteran artists and festival goers and volunteers serving up treats to revellers to raise money for local charities and good causes. They enjoyed an array of rock, pop, country and dance acts, including indie rock bands The Maccabees, Two Door Cinema Club, The Wombats, The Vaccines and The Cribs. Also playing the hallowed truck stage were Bobby Gillespie's dance rock band Primal Screen, fans' favourite Kaiser Chiefs and The K's. Among the best-known bands were iconic rabble-rousing rockers, the Libertines, who delighted the Sunday night crowd with a punchy, poetic set of familiar tunes. Bandmates Carl Barat and Pete Doherty bonding over their songs, having healed their much-publicised supposed rift. The best love section of the festival for lovers of the Oxford music scene was the so-called Veterans and Virgins stage, which featured bands and artists who had played previous truck festivals, along with new talent making their debut. The stage is curated by brothers Robin and Joe Bennett of the band The Dreaming Spires, who set up the festival in 1998 as a birthday celebration for Robin, now a Green councillor on South Oxfordshire District Council. While the brothers no longer run the whole festival, they continue to attract international and local artists to their popular stage, as well as performing. Robin, who launched his own solo act at the festival on Sunday, said, "It has been a really good one this year. The sun has helped and everyone seems happy. We have had some great music." Robin was joined by charismatic Guatemalan Los Angeles rocker Y on drums, guitar and vocals. He said, "It was the best one yet. It's a great festival. You find new friends and always meet old friends. It's like that first sip of wine. It's truck-tacular." Festival organisers said, "It's hard to think of a truck festival weekend that has left us so delighted and full of joy than this one. From the moment gates opened on Thursday, that atmosphere which makes trucks so special has shone bright and has made this year's one that's going to sit as the biggest and best truck in the festival history." Looking out across the festival site under stunning summer skies, we couldn't help but feel emotional and grateful for the love and support that truckers have showed us this year.
Early release policy review amid anger over PC's killers. The Prime Minister has been forced to halt plans to release prisoners early after outrage from the family of PC Andrew Harper. The Abingdon-based police officer from Wallingford was killed in horrific circumstances as he responded to reports of a quad bike theft in Selmstead, Berkshire, in August 2019. It was revealed by the Daily Telegraph that two of his killers, Jesse Cole and Albert Bowers, could be released early as prisons reach almost full capacity. But now, the new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, has bowed to pressure from PC Harper's mother and widow, who described the revelation as deplorable. On the prospect of the killers being released early, PC Harper's mother, Debbie Adam, told BBC Radio 4's Today programme, "It just feels like another letdown for Andrew, really. You know, when you look at the horrific way he was killed, we have to live with that. And we have to know, you know, that we've still got to live a life. We've got to do our best to do a life as best we can for him and in his name, really." The Prime Minister backtracked on plans put in place by previous Labour government under Sir Keir Starmer and confirmed that he would put a pause on the plan for the early release of prisoners on Thursday of last week. Followed news that the new Sentencing Act that would have seen around 6,000 criminals released from September onwards was under review by the government. Reacting to the news, PC Harper's mother added, "It's a definite step in the right direction. It shows that we're actually being heard, which I think is really important. But obviously, we need to see it followed up with the right actions. Changes need to be made." The change also followed comments from the police officer's widow, Lissy, who described the early release of prisoners as deplorable, adding, "We speak of justice, accountability and standing with victims, yet decisions like this do the opposite." PC Harper was 28 when he suffered catastrophic injuries, having got caught in a tow strap and being dragged behind a getaway car for more than a mile. The driver of the vehicle, Henry Long, received a 16-year sentence and would not have been eligible for the scheme. Cole and Bowers, who were passengers in the car, were handed 13 years in custody for manslaughter after a trial at the Old Bailey and would have been eligible for early release. In response to concerns from PC Harper's family, the Prime Minister said, "Keeping the public safe will always be my top priority. I'm working closely with the new Justice Secretary and have instructed my team to put a pause on the changes that were due to start in September. No prisoners will be let out under this policy until we've conducted an urgent review."
Volunteers work to restore old canal route. Community volunteers have united to clear the site of a historic canal. Supporters of the Wiltshire and Berks Canal Trust met at Grove Rugby Club on Saturday to work on the vegetation along the towpath and the Wilts and Berks Canal route at Elm Farm. A member of the group said, "Work for the day was to clear the vegetation between the towpath and the canal. The priority was to clear around the top of the lock and make the features as clear as possible." The group regularly meets to clear local areas, with organisers calling it a great social activity as well. They said, "The good thing about being a volunteer is you can do as much or as little as you want, whilst meeting new people and getting some light exercise." The canal was formerly an important link in the inland waterway network. Anyone interested in joining should email stu.thompson@wbct.org.uk for more information.
Funeral team raised £1,500 for Samaritans. A fundraising team has raised more than £1,500 for Samaritans. A funeral co-op in Abingdon raised the total through a series of community events in aid of Samaritans, including three charity walks as part of the Dawn Walk Challenge, a tabletop sale and an afternoon tea with residents. The fundraising efforts were timed to coincide with Samaritans Awareness Day on July the 24th, recognising the vital work the organisation does. Christopher Noon, funeral director at Funeral Co-op Abingdon, said, "Our daily work involves supporting individuals facing some of the most challenging times of their lives, and we see the real impact of the essential services the Samaritans provide. I am proud of the team for the time and effort they put in to raising more than £1,500 for the vital work the charity does, joining up with our local community to make a difference regionally and supplementing the amazing generosity of our co-op customers and members nationwide." Funeral Co-op is part of the wider Our Co-op Society, which selected Samaritans as its national charity partner following nearly 17,000 member votes.
Fusion Energy Hub backs armed forces. A pledge to support serving military personnel, veterans and their families has been signed. The UK Atomic Energy Authority, UKAEA Group, which includes the UKAEA National Fusion Laboratory and UK Fusion Energy, UKFE, at Culham Campus in Oxfordshire, signed the Armed Forces Covenant on July the 22nd. It aims to attract more veterans into the fusion energy sector, recognising their highly valuable and transferable experience in areas such as mechanical and electrical engineering, logistics and project management and leadership. Justin Kingsford, Chief Operating Officer at UKAEA, said, "We are proud to have signed the Armed Forces Covenant, reaffirming our commitment to supporting serving personnel, reservists, veterans and their families. As a veteran myself, I recognise the strong cultural connection between the armed forces and the UK Atomic Energy Authority. UKAEA has already taken steps to engage with the military community through its fusion opportunities in skills, training, education and research, FOSTER programme. It has attended a number of career events for service personnel and in January hosted 40 soon-to-leave or just-left armed forces personnel at Culham Campus in Abingdon. The event gave attendees the opportunity to learn about career pathways into fusion and met a similar number of veterans already working at UKAEA.
House Builder has 12k for local projects. A house builder has announced a £12,000 fund to support community initiatives across Oxfordshire. Redrow South Midlands, currently building at Hampden Meadows in Watlington and Blaze Park in Abingdon, has relaunched its annual Redrow Community Fund to support organisations, groups and individuals. The scheme, which first launched in 2019, provides local organisations with specific donations to help them continue to thrive. Lee Abbott, sales manager for Redrow South Midlands, said, "We're incredibly proud to be building on the success of our previous community funds with a new 12,000 pot, helping us to support even more inspiring local projects and organisations. At Redrow, we're passionate about creating thriving communities, not just through the homes we build, but by investing in the people and groups that make our neighbourhoods great places to live." Since launching the scheme, Redrow has donated £62,000 to causes across the region. The company is now encouraging fresh applications for this year's fund. Mr. Abbott said, "We know that even a small amount of funding can have a lasting impact, whether it's art supplies for workshops, helping to buy tools for a community garden, or bringing people together through shared experiences. We're excited to hear from people across Oxfordshire. Can't wait to see the projects this year's fund will bring to life."
Pub chefs complete World Cup of dishes. Chefs at a pub near Didcot are celebrating after achieving their goal of serving 48 different World Cup dishes throughout the tournament. Throughout the competition, chefs Andy and Tom at the Crown at Chiltern dished up 48 different recipes to represent the nations competing for the cup, which was won by Spain, who beat Argentina in the final. Shona Penny-Dance, who helps to run the Crown at Clifton, said guests at the pub appreciated the marathon effort. Dishes included cheesy dog fries, shrimp tacos, and Belgian waffles. Miss Penny-Dance said, "To celebrate this summer's World Cup, we spent the last 37 days creating and serving 48 different dishes from the 48 nations taking part in the tournament. Every day, our chefs research traditional dishes from the competing countries and recreated them for our customers, giving people the chance to experience flavours from around the world without leaving Oxfordshire. The response has been fantastic. We've had brilliant feedback from customers, with many people returning throughout the tournament to see what country we'd be visiting next."
Thatched pub up for sale. A quintessential thatched village pub in Oxfordshire has been listed for sale to new owners for just £75,000. The Red Lion pub in Brightwell cum Sotwell is at the heart of the close-knit village near Wallingford, beloved by locals for its classic fare and friendly feel. Set in an historic thatched building with exposed oak beams, a sunny courtyard and open fireplaces, it is described as a perfect country pub, which is oozing original character. The leasehold for the business has now been listed for sale to new owners with agent Davy Co., quoting a guide price of £75,000.
Hosepipe ban for 10 million customers. A hosepipe ban has come into force for millions of Thames Water customers following weeks of hot weather, low rainfall and high demand. The restrictions began last Tuesday and affect more than 10 million customers in Oxfordshire and across the south. Under the ban, households and businesses supplied with drinking water by Thames Water are prohibited from using hose pipes for activities such as watering gardens, cleaning vehicles, and filling paddling pools or topping up hot tubs. Thames Water announced the ban because of prolonged dry weather, recent heat waves, very low rainfall levels, and higher than normal water demand during the dry forecast. Some customers are exempt, including those with severe mobility issues, regardless of whether they hold a blue badge. For individuals with severe mobility issues, exemptions cover activities such as watering gardens, washing vehicles, and maintaining ponds. Additional exemptions apply for certain animal welfare uses. These include filling pools used to decontaminate animals or treat disease, maintaining ponds that house aquatic animals, and operating ornamental fountains that supply oxygen to fish. The Priority Services Register also provides exemptions for customers with specific medical conditions, such as those requiring dialysis, using oxygen, or with limited hand movement.
Business Park Ranger Team launched. A more visible security presence is being introduced at a business park to create a welcoming environment. Milton Park in Oxfordshire has launched an 8-strong team of park rangers to serve its 300-acre innovation community supporting more than 280 businesses. The team will provide wayfinding assistance, visitor guidance, event support and access to the park's amenities. Philip Campbell, Asset Management Director at Federated Hermes Real Estate, said, "We pride ourselves on providing the infrastructure, flexibility and support that enables companies to operate as smoothly and efficiently as possible. As the park continues to grow, it's important that the experience of being based here evolves too. They're much more than a traditional security team. They're ambassadors for Milton Park, and an important part of creating a safe and welcoming environment where businesses and people can thrive. The park rangers, formerly the existing security team, have moved from the long-standing security hut to a new info point at Signal Yard." I should say that the article is accompanied by a picture of four beaming gentlemen in grey uniforms. Go here. Okay, time now for our notice board items. No birthdays to report this week. Sadly, there are two deaths to report. Elizabeth Christopher, née Bumpus, who was 91, and Peter Neal, who was 88. And as ever, our thoughts and our prayers go out to all of those who grieve at this time. I'd like to remind you about the My Vision charity, which supports visually impaired and blind people across Oxfordshire. I did check the website today, and there are activities coming up. There's the Abingdon Walking Group and Abingdon Green Walk Social Group. Didcot Walking Group have an activity coming up, and they have an audio book club event and a wellbeing course. And if you live in Farringdon, the social group is also due to meet over the next few weeks. If you're interested in any of those activities, suggest you check out the website or get someone to do it for you. For details of the activities. So that's www.myvision.org.uk. Just a quick run through the On This Day feature, which I like to include. Something you'll always remember, I suspect. On this day in 1981, the Prince of Wales and Lady Diana Spencer were married in St Paul's. There you go. 1981. On this day in 1588, the Spanish Armada was sighted off Cornwall. You will know, won't you, that it was defeated by the English fleet under Howard and Drake. On this day in 1801, George Bradshaw, English publisher and originator of railway guides, was born. And on this day in 1938, the first edition of the Beano was published. This day, 1948, it was the first post-war Olympic Games that opened in London. And on this day in 1966, Bob Dylan was badly hurt in a motorbike crash near Woodstock. So we now continue with an article about preserving chalk streams in our area.
Group urges Clean Water Bill to protect our chalk streams. A cross-party group is calling for greater legal protection for rare chalk streams ahead of the government's Clean Water Bill. Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust is supporting the campaign, which seeks special designated status for chalk streams, most of which are found in England, and support threatened wildlife, including water voles and kingfishers. Some of the best of these waterways are found in southern Oxfordshire, including Letcombe Brook and Chalgrove Brook. Holly Gray, Planning and Policy Officer at BBOWT and Co-Secretariat of the All-Party Parliamentary Group, APPG, on chalk streams, said, "This is an exciting step forward in getting chalk streams the recognition they deserve. Chalk streams should be the jewel in the crown of our waterways, a unique, internationally rare habitat we are lucky to have on our doorstep and we should be proud of." For many years, grassroots groups have been working hard to restore their local stretches with great results. But ongoing damage, pollution and over-abstraction pressures undermine these efforts and have left many chalk streams unrecognisable. The upcoming Clean Water Bill gives this new group an opportunity to make a real impact. Chalk streams are fed by groundwater filtered through chalk bedrock, creating clear water that supports a unique ecosystem. However, most are not legally protected and continue to face threats from sewage pollution, agricultural chemicals, and unsustainable water extraction. The group is calling for chalk streams to receive formal designation and legal protection that recognises their rarity and ecological value. Other recommendations include reforms to water planning, stronger environmental regulations, changes to abstraction policy, and greater support for local groups and authorities. Sarah Green, MP for Chesham and Amersham, is chair of the new APPG. She said, "This APPG exists to ensure that when it does, chalk streams are not overlooked again. It should not just be down to committed campaigners to protect these rivers. It needs a statutory underpinning, which is what we are here to build."
£1 million for new social homes on empty site. New life is set to be breathed into part of a town centre with a funding boost supporting plans for more social housing. More than £1 million has been secured by South Oxfordshire District Council for its redevelopment project at Didcot Broadway, with the funding awarded through Homes England's Social and Affordable Homes programme. The funding will support a new social housing scheme between 116 and 120 Broadway, after 116 and 118 were demolished in summer 2025. Tony Worgan, Cabinet Member for Housing and Planning Development Management at the Council, said, "We are hugely grateful to Homes England for generosity in supporting this project. This is fantastic news for Didcot, and a significant step forward for a project that will deliver real benefits for our residents. Securing more than £1 million from Homes England demonstrates confidence in our plans to create high-quality council-owned homes in a sustainable town centre location. The scheme will deliver 9 one- and two-bedroom flats for social rent, as well as a new ground-floor community space area." Councillor Worgan said, "Not only will this provide new homes, but it will also transform the site that has long been in need of rejuvenation." Construction is scheduled to begin in autumn 2026, with completion expected in autumn 2027. The new homes will be built to high environmental standards of Passive House, incorporating sustainable construction methods and delivering zero carbon homes fit for the future. They will form part of a car-free scheme and include bicycle storage to encourage sustainable travel. The development will also contribute to Didcot's transformation and supports the Council's broader goal of increasing social housing across South Oxfordshire. Shahi Islam, Director of Affordable Housing Grants at Homes England, said, "Didcot Broadway is a prime example of how we work collaboratively with local partners like South Oxfordshire District Council to achieve our mission to build much-needed new communities that people can be proud to call home." Councillor Ian Snowden, who represents Didcot West, welcomed the funding. He said, "Additional external funding for Didcot is welcome, particularly where it helps deliver much-needed social housing and reduces the burden on local taxpayers. As the local ward councillor, I want to see this site brought back into productive use as soon as possible." Alongside the Homes England grant, the project is being primarily funded by the council, which is also using Section 106 funds. The council is exploring the inclusion of public artwork as part of the site's overall design. Further updates will be shared as construction progresses.
£1 million hospital project nearing completion. A £1 million scheme to upgrade Wantage's Hospital is nearing completion after the project was significantly delayed earlier this year. Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust has revealed that the scheme to enhance Wantage Community Hospital on Garston Lane will be finished in the autumn after delays relating to the nature of the property and its age. The £950,000 refurbishment of the hospital's ground floor will allow for a wider range of health and care services to be accommodated, as well as an increase in clinic space by 8 rooms. Works began last autumn and are being progressed in phases, with the first of those already complete. Earlier this year, the Trust announced a delay to the project, which was initially intended to be completed by the spring, but now it confirmed that the project will finish in the autumn. A spokesperson for Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust said, "The work is now nearing completion, and we are anticipating work will be complete in the autumn. The work has been carried out in phases to keep as many existing services open at the hospital as possible. The project has previously experienced delays due to unforeseen issues which relate to the nature of the building and its age. We will be able to share further details in due course around a celebratory opening event once all buildings' works are finished." Almost £950,000 has been allocated to the project, money taken from the Community Infrastructure Levy healthcare allocation, which is collected from new building developments. The Trust has previously confirmed that its works had not gone over budget yet, as infrastructure projects and households alike face spiralling energy costs this year. The news that Wantage Community Hospital was to be refurbished was welcomed by local leaders when announced last autumn. Emma Lever, Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust's Interim Chief Operating Officer for Community Health Services, Dentistry and Primary Care, said, "The works will not only make the hospital fit for purpose, it will allow us to increase the overall number of services offered to local people and improve access for patients, carers and their families. Some of the new services coming to the community hospital will include a dedicated area for children and adolescent mental health services, something that local people wanted to see included." MP for Wantage and Didcot, Ollie Glover, was also pleased by the news, calling it crucial but said that more funding for infrastructure is needed. The Liberal Democrat said, using developer contributions to help fund health, leisure and education infrastructure, or projects like a new station at Grove, is the right approach. However, government investment is also needed to ensure local facilities are provided ahead of new homes to ensure sufficient infrastructure to meet needs.
Abingdon's place in the new local government structure. Most people will now be aware that a decision has been made on the future structure of local government across Oxfordshire and West Berkshire. The proposal put forward by Oxford City Council has been accepted by central government. The proposal put forward by Oxfordshire County Council and the other proposal put forward by the district councils have been rejected. The area will be served by three unitary councils from 2028. Greater Oxford Council, covering Oxford and its immediate surroundings. North Oxfordshire Council, covering most of the existing Charwell and West Oxfordshire districts. Ridgeway Council, covering most of the existing South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse districts, together with West Berkshire. For Abingdon, the change represents one of the most significant shifts in its local government identity since 1974. Creates a new relationship with surrounding towns and villages while reconnecting with parts of old Berkshire. One of the biggest changes is that Abingdon will no longer be part of the same principal authority as Oxford. Instead, it will become part of the new Ridgeway Council, alongside communities including Didcot, Wantage, Grove, Wallingford, Henley-on-Thames and towns across West Berkshire. The new arrangements creates an interesting historical contrast. Before the local government reorganisation of 1974, Abingdon was close to the northern edge of Berkshire, with Oxford across the county boundary. Under the new structure, the town will once again find itself near the north edge of the Ridgeway and looking as if it's about to be eaten by Greater Oxford. Abingdon and Radley will be like a bulge of Ridgeway Council within Greater Oxford. Culham to the south will be part of Greater Oxford, while several neighbouring communities with historical links to Abingdon, such as Cumnor, Wootton, Sunningwall, Boars Hill and Kennington, will be in the new Greater Oxford area. These communities were part of North Berkshire before the 1974 changes, when they became part of the newly created Vale of Whitehorse district within Oxfordshire. The new boundaries therefore create a situation where some places that have long shared local authority government with Abingdon will now be governed separately. The main aims of creating unitary councils is to simplify local government. Instead of responsibilities being divided between county and district councils, a single authority will be responsible for most local services, making it clearer for residents who to contact. However, the largest services previously provided across the whole of Oxfordshire by the County Council, including adult social care, children's services, highways and transport, will now be provided separately by the three new unitary authorities rather than by one Oxfordshire-wide organisation. That seems to multiply rather than unify departments. If you want any more information, you can find it on https://threecouncils.org, and the three councils is figure three councils.
Archaeology uncovered in castle repairs. Archaeology revealing more of the town's history has been uncovered under the walls of the ancient Wallingford Castle. Wallingford Town Council had to carry out repairs to the medieval castle walls, which circle the eponymous gardens, after storm damage was caused in 2025. The castle was established as a Mott and Bailey fort in the 11th century and grew to the height of its power and significance in the two centuries that followed. It is now a scheduled monument, and as a result, the project required a number of consents before work could begin, including from Historic England. As part of the consent process, the organisation required an archaeological watching brief to monitor the excavation work, which saw four small test pits excavated alongside the wall. A small amount of medieval and post-medieval material was discovered, including pottery, tile and clay pipe fragments. The most unexpected discovery was a small brick-lined culvert running beneath the wall, which possibly served as an earlier drainage system for the town. The town council said the project faced additional delays as an insurance claim relating to the storm damage was unsuccessful and funding had to be found from elsewhere.
Cake shop closes its doors amid rising cost pressures. A cafe selling cupcakes in Abingdon has now closed due to increasing cost pressures. Charlotte Allen and her family opened Lottie's Bakeaway in Sturt Street early in 2023 and since then has been selling boxes of cupcakes and serving drinks to customers in the cafe at the back of the shop. But the cost of living reduced the number of customers and the owner decided to spend more time with her family. That's partner Kevin and two sons, Riley 14 and Louis 8. Ms. Allen said, "The end of an era. I'm an emotional wreck, but thank you so much to everyone who came to say goodbye, for all the kind words, hugs, cards and presents. I've cried a lot, but I'm excited for the next chapter." Ms. Allen will continue to run the business, supplying cakes to farm shops in the area, including one in Sunningwell. The closure of Lottie's Bakeaway will leave two neighbouring empty units in Sturt Street, as its next-door neighbour was the former stationery shop. Price's Stationers announced it was to close after 31 years at the end of 2021, and the unit has remained unoccupied since. The Finishing Touch in Sturt Street, a boutique selling jewellery and gifts, has also announced it is expected to close this month after 23 years in the town. However, Sturt Street was given a boost when Jill Carver's Added Ingredients, a popular deli, which closed in 2022, returned in November 2025.
Climate Change Group calls for volunteers. Community Hub One Planet Abingdon is reaching out to recruit more volunteers. The group, which promotes sustainable living and the fight against climate change, needs new recruits to help it stage various events throughout the year and run the cafe, which is open 4 days a week in the basement space beneath the County Hall Museum. The group said in a statement, "We want to help create a One Planet Abingdon where everyone in the town is focused on living within the Earth's resources, repairing the damage done while enjoying happy, healthy lives and leaving ample space for nature to thrive and flourish." For more information on volunteering, visit oneplanetabingdon.org. Gary Burns, among volunteers running the cafe where delicious homemade cakes and tea and coffee are served, is a regular at One Planet Abingdon. He and other volunteers gave a warm welcome to Elizabeth, who was visiting from California. She said, "I'm visiting Abingdon because my daughter is moving to the area. Everyone has made me feel very welcome."
Woman is injured after sinkhole fall. The poor condition of potholed pavements has been criticised after a pedestrian was hurt in a fall. A woman who was asked to remain anonymous was hurt after tripping in a pothole in St Helen's Wharf in Abingdon by the River Thames. Responding to the complaint, Oxfordshire County Council directed her towards the compensation section of its website. Spokesperson said people can make compensation claims as a result of highway defects. Pothole was first reported on Fix My Street on July the 10th. A user said, "Looks about 1 foot deep, open space below it, so dangerous." Following that, reports from the public indicated it was getting bigger and that it had become a significant danger. Then on July the 17th, the woman said she had been injured. She said, "I'd like to make a complaint. I've injured myself by falling down this pothole." Oxfordshire County Council said, "Thank you for your report. This has been made safe with a footplate. Once a report and further investigations are required, and a repair will then be scheduled. We appreciate your vigilance and encourage you to report any future highway concerns." It's not known yet whether there has been a permanent fix. Potholes have been a major issue around Oxfordshire, including in Abingdon, over the past year. Indeed, last week, a list of streets where pothole repairs are urgently required in the town was drawn up by county councillors. This included Spring Road, Caldecott Road and one other to be decided. Abingdon South County Councillor and Deputy of the County Council, Neil Fawcett, said, "There's a limited budget and full resurfacing or surface dressing costs a lot. Even though we're spending a record amount, there's decades of underinvestment to catch up with and only so many roads that can be done each year. County officers do their best to prioritise in order of need, but everyone obviously notices the road outside their door most."
First total solar eclipse since 1999 on the way. Oxfordshire residents could be in for a cosmic show next month as the UK will witness to a rare partial solar eclipse. The eclipse will obscure about 90% of the sun at its maximum in areas like Oxford on Wednesday, the 12th of August. The maximum eclipse will happen at 7:11 p.m. Although totality, when the sun is completely covered, will not be visible in the UK, those lucky enough to be in its path can still expect a significant eclipse. The path of the total eclipse will start in northern Russia, travel over Greenland and Iceland, and eventually reach Spain and the northwestern corner of Portugal. For those lucky enough to be in its path, totality will last approximately 2 minutes, but total solar eclipse will last 6 minutes and 23 seconds at maximum, making it one of the longest totalities possible on Earth. This event will mark the first time a total solar eclipse is visible over mainland Europe since 1999, with Spain and northern Portugal being the only places on the continent to experience totality. NASA and UK astronomy sources list the date and path of the eclipse. Elsewhere, the northernmost regions of the USA and Canada will also experience a partial eclipse. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between Earth and the sun during its new moon phase.
Thames locks part closed amid dry spell. Locks on the Thames have been partly closed to navigation from the river's upper reaches to Oxford due to low water levels caused by the hot and dry weather. The Environment Agency has introduced navigation restrictions between St John's Lock in Lechlade to Ousney Lock in Oxford. Passage through Thames locks is restricted to one upstream and one downstream movement every 30 minutes. Overnight lock closures will be in place from 6 p.m. to 9:30 a.m. The Environment Agency said the current period of exceptionally dry weather and high temperatures has increased pressure on available water resources. At the same time, demand for drinking water remains high. Every lock operation transfers a significant volume of water downstream. Without intervention, river levels could reduce further, affecting both navigation and the availability of water for abstraction. These temporary measures will help retain water within the system, support navigation where possible, and safeguard essential drinking water supplies for the communities that rely upon them. The agency added that boaters can use lock laybys for mooring during overnight closures, free of charge, and are advised to plan their journeys carefully to reach moorings before closure times.
Swimmers invited to take early morning dip. Early morning swims are now on offer at a popular outdoor pool in Oxfordshire. Abbey Meadows Outdoor Pool in Abingdon has extended its opening hours for the season. It is now open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekdays and from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends. Whether you're an early bird looking to fit in a morning swim or prefer an evening dip after work, a spokesman said, we look forward to seeing you at the pool. Abbey Meadows Outdoor Pool in Abingdon opened early in mid-June instead of waiting for its planned mid-July start date. Operators brought the schedule forward ahead of a hot spell following local resident frustration.
Hay bales blaze arson probe. Police are investigating a suspected arson attack on a farm which saw hay bales torched, causing a huge fire. The incident occurred in Hinton Waldris near Abingdon on Monday of last week. Thames Valley police officers from the Rural Crime Task Force arrested an individual on Wednesday of last week in connection with the offences. He was then interviewed and evidence showed he is not involved in the fire, so he was released with no further action. Police said inquiries continue in relation to the fire. It comes amid repeated incidents of wildfires in the countryside caused by a record-breaking temperatures and a sustained period of hot, dry weather in Oxfordshire. So that was the last news item for the week. I'd like to thank the Herald and other local sources, especially Abingdon Blog this week, for the items I've used, and thank all our volunteers for their time. If you've got any comments to make on this production, please phone the Dawn Secretary Karen on 07939 265 517. So thanks for listening. I hope you're managing to cope with the heat if it's still hot when you get to listen to this. I always like to leave time for a smile at the end, so here goes. Man goes into a bar with his small pet newt called Tiny. Pint for me and half for Tiny, please, he says to the landlord. Landlord asks, why do you name him Tiny? Man replies, because he's minute. So there you go. Wherever you are, however you are, please take care, stay cool and stay safe. Bye-bye until next time.